is refreshing to hear your voices lifted up jubilantly as we consider the fact that indeed our King is marching on, and we rejoice as we watch his stately stepping throughout the earth. And now, brethren, we'll have the privilege of hearing two of our sisters sing a beautiful hymn for us, "Each Step I Take." And brethren, I think one of the aspects of a Vesper service like this is where we could just sit and perhaps reflect upon the words more so than we have on other occasions, especially as we hear some of our dear ones singing their sweet voices and giving praise to the Lord. Thank you. step we take, whether it's one of joy or an occasion, one of sorrow and trial, indeed is taking us a closer step to our home, where we long to be with our Master and our Heavenly Father. Now, brethren, we would like to join our voices together as we are met here as a group of brethren in oneness of spirit, in oneness of the body of Christ, to sing a song that is dear to all of us, a hymn of unity, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." I think that perhaps we might shed a tear as we reflect upon some of our dear brethren that we will see as we reflect upon the blessed tie that has bound us together now and in the past with many of our brethren who have gone before. As we've recalled some of our dear brethren who have gone before, reflect upon how much we are indebted for their past ministries and for one another, that we have this opportunity of lifting up one another's hands, as it were, helping one another to walk this narrow way. And as we reflect upon this blessed tie that binds and how we want to be helped to one another, we'd like to listen to a beautiful poem that the Richard Doctor will now read for us, entitled "Other." The thought of it is of how our life wants to be lived for others. As we call the various brethren's name, perhaps they could immediately come to the microphone.
Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, and lust to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and when my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee.
Isn't this the desire of all our hearts? Because this is what our life is all about. That indeed it might be laid down in sacrifice for others, to help one another now, in whatever way we can, in whatever little avenue. It might be just a time to utter a word of comfort, of cheer, or encouragement, or sending a card. But this is our heart's desire, to live for others. Now we'd like to listen to a beautiful hymn sung by four of our sisters, "He Washed My Eyes with Tears." So it is.
Of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold.
Yes, more to be desired than gold. What would any of us take for the precious truth we have? There's nothing on this earth that we would be willing to give up the truth for. And so, brethren, may we, with all our hearts, strive for that goal that is before us, to see our Heavenly Father face to face. Let us join our voices together now and sing together hymn number 72, Hail to the Brightness of Zion's Glad Morning. Together in the knowledge that we are now privileged to have of the great eternal plan of our Heavenly Father. Now I would like to ask Brother Tom Ruggiero to read for us another precious psalm that we've all come to love, the 95th Psalm, verses 1 to 7, where we're admonished of the Lord to come to lift up our voices to sing praises to Him.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with him, unto him with sounds. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God.
Let us kneel and bow down before our Maker. Oh, we have so much to praise and be thankful for, which this evening we are doing, wanting to take time to consider all the many ways that we have to express our appreciation to our Heavenly Father, that we might this night, even as we on bended knee come before his throne, to thank him, to praise him for all the joys, for all the blessings that we have received. Now we'll have the privilege of hearing some raise their voices in thanksgiving. The little children are going to sing for us, stand up for Jesus, soldiers of the cross. This is something all of us want to do, to indeed stand up and raise our voices to praise him. Go and he shall not depart from it. So we rejoice to hear the words of praise from our little children. And now we'd like to ask Brother Tim Alexander to read for us a very thought-provoking poem relative to our actions. Of our thoughts, our words, and doings. A poem entitled, As Unto Him.
As Unto Him. Whatever you think, both in joy and in woe, think nothing you would not like Jesus to know. Whatever you say, in a whisper or in clear, say nothing that you would not want Jesus to hear. Whatever you read, though the page may allure, read nothing unless you are perfectly sure. Consternation would not be seen in your look if God should say solemnly, show me that book. Whatever you write, with haste or with heed, write nothing that you would not like Jesus to read. Whatever you sing in the midst of your glee, say nothing that God's listening ear could displease. Wherever you go, never go where you'd fear God's question being asked you, what doest thou here?
something we all want to consider, that indeed, would we ever be taken aback if suddenly the Lord walked into the room and witnessed what we were reading, what we were watching, what we were thinking or talking about. And what we, as we reflect on that, to recall that we indeed want to do nothing we wouldn't want to do if Jesus was in our presence. So let us now lift our voices again, brethren, in singing 267. So let our daily lives express the true meaning of holiness. We want all of our, every day of our lives to express the true meaning of holiness. So now as we're coming to the end of a day, it's good to reflect upon the day and our activities and what we've accomplished, and we'd ask Brother Bob Whitaker to read for us a poem entitled, At Day's End.
At day's end, did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent? As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God will say, you have earned one more tomorrow by the work you did today?
I think this is something that's well, if we'd all, at the end of the day, reflect upon. What effect did we have on others that we had come in contact with today? Well, perhaps today or these days of convention it isn't quite as necessary, because I'm sure we all have endeavored to be a blessing and receive one, but as we leave here, where we want to apply the lessons, the principles that we've been hearing from the platform, that's when we want to reflect. Were others blessed? Were they uplifted because of me today, what I had done, what we had said? And if not, may we make a better, renewed determination that in the next day we will do better. We'll lift the spirit. And this is what we want to do. I'm sure that we want to so live the Christian life that those who come in contact with us are indeed blessed by just being in our presence, by something we said or did, the way we acted, the way we forgave, or in many little ways that perhaps we wouldn't even think of. Now we have the privilege of listening to a group of our brethren sing a hymn, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Something that we've all learned to know, to love and appreciate, and perhaps will a bit more as we reflect upon the words of their singing.
Thank you.
fearful the name of Jesus, magnify and praise his name. And oh, how we want to do that, not just in song, but when we leave. I just love the 107th Psalm. It starts, "Let the redeemed and the Lord say so." And that, it just so with meaning to me. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We want to say so. We want to praise his name. We want to tell all men of the wonderful plan of salvation for all men. So now we'll ask our brother Tim Armstrong to read verse of scripture for us from Job, the 36th chapter, verses 26 to 29.
"Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also can any understand the spreadings of the clouds, or the noise of his tabernacle? God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend."
God thundereth marvelously with his voice. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but if faithful, we look forward to the day when we'll hear God, our Heavenly Father, sing. Oh, how that voice undoubtedly will thunder forth with magnificence as he and all the sons of God will rejoice together at that great banquet that, if we make our calling election sure, we will be privileged to be at, to sit at the feet of our Master, to reflect upon all those things who have gone before, and to know our Lord and our brethren and our Heavenly Father. Let us sing now together, brethren, hymn number 260, "Send Out Thy Light and Truth, O Lord."
Thank you.
We're singing for the Lord to send out his light and truth. But we must be the instrumentalities that he will use. Now we would like to ask Brother Steve Cirossi read for us a beautiful portion of Scripture, the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 28 to 39, in the Phillips translation. Brother Steve.
Moreover, we know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. God, in his foreknowledge, chose them to bear the family likeness of his Son, that he might be the eldest of a family of many brothers. He chose them long ago. When the time came, he called them. He made them righteous in his sight, and then lifted them to the splendor of life as his own sons. In face of all this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, can we not trust him, such a God, to give us with him everything else that we can need? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, dangers to life and limb, the threat of force of arms? No. In all these things, we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Beautiful words of our Apostle Paul, wanting to help us to realize that indeed every moment of our life is being directed, watched over, permitted. As Sister Sundown used to say, our trials are worth millions. Let's not waste any of them. Yes, every aspect of our life is being permitted by our Heavenly Father to work out some good. We may not see it now, but in the near future, perhaps the Lord will reveal to us. But ultimately, it might be that when the church is glorified, there will not be an experience that mankind has not had, that some member of the church has not had. And indeed, each one will thus be able to be a merciful and sympathetic high priest to those children of men who went through similar experiences. Let us be determined, brethren, that nothing on this earth, above it or below it, will separate us from the love of God. Now we will have the privilege of hearing a group of our sisters sing "For Those Tears I Died." Thank you. down to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. Yes, our Lord has admonished us that we need to but knock, and it shall be opened. To ask, and it shall be given. If we but by faith can claim that promise, and indeed come to him in full faith and assurance and claim the promise, the Lord will be with us. For we have not a high priest that was not touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Now we'd like to ask our brother Francis Earle of Washington to read for us a quotation on our great Heavenly Father, Jehovah.
Our God is the great emperor of the whole universe, and his wisdom, power, goodness, and benevolence are abundantly equal to all the responsibilities of such an exalted office. The human mind staggers in its efforts to comprehend the mental resources of a being who is able to assume and to bear such responsibilities. Think for a moment of the memory that never fails, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the responsibility of failure, of the power and the skill that can harness every opposing element, animate and inanimate, and that makes them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand design. Of the tireless vigilance that never ceases, nor seek relief from the pressing cares of the universal dominion, whose ear is ever open, and who is ever cognizant of all the necessities, and active in all the interests of his broad domain.
Perhaps there is someone here that's now counting the cost of giving your life to the Lord. And just think for the moment of what a great being wants to be your Father, who will use all of his power, wisdom, to direct things in your life that you might one day be part of his royal diadem. It's hard for us to imagine such a wonderful being. And yet we who are but dust, he has told us that we are the apple of his eye. And oh, how we want to be worthy to some degree of such a beautiful phrase, and to be someone our Heavenly Father is indeed pleased with. Now, brethren, let us join our voices together in singing hymn number 316, Watchman, Tell Me, Does the Morning. time to read for us a bit of prose relative to our lifespan in comparison to eternity. Brother Larry?
Just think. Thousands upon thousands of years from now, we will look back upon our earthly course and consider, what did I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Just a moment to express our love for God. As an atom is to the universe, so is our lifespan to eternity.
Our life is just such a brief span, so little that we can give. But if we give it all the billions upon billions of years of eternity, we will be with our God, being used of him, bringing into creation future billions of other creations on the planetary system in this universe. What a prospect is before us. For so little that we must do, oh, what may we give our all. Now we'll have the privilege of hearing a group of our brethren singing, Of My Hand. Thank you. To the Lord is to give of ourselves to one another, to our brethren, and to the world in general. This is what our life is all about, to give. Now we'll ask our brother Russell Shalou of Staten Island to read for us Joshua 23:14 and comment on it from the reader.
Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. In the smallest and in the greatest affairs of our lives, he has ever watched for our interests. Every cloud has a golden lining. What then shall we render unto the Lord?
Just a short scripture. Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord God spake concerning you. Therefore, what shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And you know, the inference of that scripture is one of not that we are to wait until someone comes and asks us to do something, but it implies that we are to be on the initiative, that we are to be looking, ever alert, watching on how we can help in some way to serve the purposes of our Heavenly Father. What shall we render unto the Lord for all this benefit toward me? And this we really would like to suggest, as it is in our morning resolve, to be the first phrase we may utter, or think, rather, in our minds upon awakening. My earliest thought, my desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And if we so do upon arising, it'll put us in that frame of mind to ever be alert and attentive to what our life is to be, but to looking for ways of serving our Master. Let us join together now, brethren, in singing a beautiful hymn, 273. He lives the flesh, yes, that we shall live and be with him and see him as he is. Now we'll ask Brother Tony Malinowski to read for us a poem entitled Sowing. Brother Tony.
Sowing by S-O-W-I-N-G, a short prayer. Ever as I go through life, help me, Lord, to brighten those who journey with me in their burden lighten. Like a gift, a trust from thee, help me so to use it, knowing that what on earth I sow, I at last shall reap it.
Knowing what on earth we sow, we shall at last reap it. Yes, it will be not 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 fold for what we have given our little all. And as we think of our little all and we think of the great sacrifice of our Lord, we'll have now the privilege of hearing two of our sisters sing Amazing Grace. For truly it is amazing grace that has called us out of darkness into its marvelous light.
Now I'm found. Why?
in the heavenly court. Truly amazing grace that we have received. We'll ask Brother George Jaheen of Norwich, Connecticut now to read for us Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, and a comment of our pastor.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Our capacity for joy now is not what it will be by and by, but it is possible now to have our little earthen vessels as full as they can hold of the joy of the Lord. In such company as this, can any Christian fail utterly to realize some measure of joy in the Lord? No. If his faith grasps the promise and holds it, the realization of joy in the Lord is sure to follow. And the more firmly his faith lays hold upon the promise, the more will he realize its fulfillment, and the more fully will his joys abound. For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, no matter what may be the conditions and circumstances.
Thank you, Brother George. Oh, we cannot always perhaps be in a condition of constant joyfulness and rejoicing, because there are times when tears will flow in our lives. But we like the phrase our pastors use here, in such company as this, can any Christian fail utterly to realize some measure of joy in the Lord? No, if his faith grasps the promise and holds it, the realization of joy in the Lord is sure to follow. Indeed, each life will be filled with some rain, but with much sunshine as well. Now, brethren, let us join our voices together in singing hymn number 309, To the Work.
has to do with telling forth of God's praises. Brethren, I just like to mention, you know, Brother Peter has been to us inspiration. I know it was perhaps about 25 years ago we first heard Brother Peter and how he declared that the Lord wants us, wants you and me, not so much our money, but us, to be used in his service. So we'd like Brother Peter to read this for us. Brother Peter.
If everything else in life were taken from us, we were without a penny in the world, we would still be rich toward God if we had the truth. And so, we all are needy in respect to this intelligence, this knowledge. When we perceive this, how could we be indifferent to the calling forth of the praises of Him who has called us out of the world, out of darkness, into His marvelous light? So, then, God has
prearranged this matter that all those who believe
and become children of God may have a share with Him in His great work. And since, you know, these things, they become a test of our faith, of our love, and our sincerity. And the Lord sees it. He is this character in us will determine whether or not it will be appropriate in the honorable place on the other side.
This are my own words. At the end of every volume of scripture study that was published during Brother Russell's ministry, at the end of every volume was the appeal, "Go ye also into the vineyard. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gather fruit to life eternal." Let's go. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Truly a life that has lived what Brother Peter has preached. Indeed, if everything else in life was taken from us, if we had the truth, we would still be so very rich. When we perceive this, how could we but be indifferent to the telling forth of the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? Now we'll have Sister Joan Jackson sing for us the Holy Spirit. Sister Joan.
Thank you.
down out of God from heaven as a bride adorned for husband. And the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now we ask our brother Bob Davis to read for us Psalm 71, the 16th verse, and the comment of our pastor.
I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Psalm 71, 16. The tears and sorrows and battlings and strife against the world, the flesh, and the devil are all very necessary in the present time. And we should neither hope nor expect to be crowned as victors without passing through such experiences. In the battle, we learn not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We learn of our own weaknesses and our imperfections and our need to walk closely with the Lord. We learn also to trust His grace and that our sufficiency is of God. We learn that greater is He who is on our part than all they that be against us. We learn that the victory that overcometh the world is neither the strength and perfection of our flesh, nor merely the strong resolution of our mind, but the latter helped and strengthened by Him who assures us that His strength can be perfected in our weakness. It is here that we learn that all things are working together for good to them that love God. Reprint 21:95.
I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Yes, brethren, as we come to the conclusion of this day of convention and of reflection upon our walk with the Lord, may we be determined that we will strive all the harder to fulfill our consecrations, that one day we might be with our Lord in the heavens as we see before us throughout all eternity. So let us conclude, brethren, with the singing of hymn number 314, Wake the Song of Jubilee.